All right, general discussion. We've got some logistics to work through for the upcoming meeting in October. So before we get to the information that we need from commissioners regarding your plans for hotel, I'd like the director to brief us on the plans to date for the co-managers meeting that will precede our October regular meeting. So, Director Anderson, could you fill us in, please?
Thanks, Madam Chair and Commissioners. I sent an email out to all of you yesterday afternoon that gave you some of the details that we have up to this point in time for our meeting with the tribes that's coming up on the evening of October 2nd and the day of October 3rd, Wednesday and Thursday. As you noted in my email, we've secured a location at the Tulalip Casino up in Marysville. We have, there are two parts. The first is a dinner meeting, an opportunity for some of the key policy folks from the tribes, as well as the commissioners that are going to attend, and a limited number of department folks or leadership would be attending that meeting or that dinner meeting, and we are. Part of that meeting will, of course, just give an opportunity for people to meet each other and talk a little bit, as well as having some discussion about the next day and what we hope to accomplish the next day. The meeting on the following day, which will be on Thursday, we're still working on the start times and some of the details for that. I'm anticipating that it'll probably be something like a 9 to 3 kind of a meeting time frame. I want to, you know, give us an opportunity to get out of there and partake in the traffic getting from Marysville down to Olympia, both north and southbound. Ought to be fun. Giving us time to get down here in preparation, of course, for your meeting the following day on Friday here in Olympia. We have on the full meeting day, Thursday. I was fortunate to be able to get Jim Waldo, a name that some of you may know. I first met Jim back in the mid '70s. He was working for the Department of Justice. As we move forward following the Bolt decision, Jim was a key person and facilitated conversations between the state and tribal leaders in the formation of what came to be known as our co-management relationship, as well as the founding of the North of Falcon process. And he actually facilitated the first North of Falcon meeting and has done a lot of work since then in the natural resource arena in a variety of issues, including issues such as the mass marking agreement we have with the Tulalip tribes, for one, and others. So a long-standing key figure with great credentials, and so having him as a facilitator was a great thing from my perspective. We were also able to get Bill Wilkerson to participate, and many of you know Bill. He used to be the Department of Director of the Department of Fisheries following Director Schmitten's tenure. He was Deputy Director for Director Schmitten during his tenure, and he was a key commissioner in the Pacific Salmon Commission treaty development times, and of course then went on to be the director of the Department of Revenue, and he's so very well respected both within the state and the tribal community, and so we've got him kind of part of our core team as we go about planning for this meeting. We're still working on the setup for the Thursday meeting. I'm anticipating having somewhere around 30 people from the Department of Fish and Wildlife staff there, obviously in addition to the commission members that are going to attend, in the 30 to 35, somewhere in there, and I don't know how many tribal folks will be there, but I'm guessing it will be considerably more than we have. We are looking at having a legal panel made up of folks from the AG's office, Joe Shorn, Mike Grossman, as well as at least two attorneys from the tribes. Likely Alan Stay. Alan Stay is another tribal attorney who's been around for a long, long time, has worked for both Colville and Muckleshoot, and I've had lots and lots of experience with Alan over the years, so I think we're fortunate that they've selected him as one of their people. Mason Morissette and Dan Rass are the other two attorneys from the tribes. I don't know whether they're going to have three or two. Just a sec. So, but we'll start out with, at least at this stage, our planning is to have that legal group kind of lay the legal foundation in terms of the legal relationship between for the state and the tribes. That's going to be followed up with a second panel that's made up of Bill Wilkerson. We haven't got all the people named yet for our second panel, but basically it's going to be those individuals who played an important role in the creation of co-management, and to kind of set the stage for why the state and the tribes decided to go in the direction that led to this co-management relationship, and kind of where we were and how we were doing business before that relationship was formed. Part of the reason for this is because we've had, you know, obviously it's been a number of years since that was done. That was back in 1984. And a lot of turnover in people, both on the state as well as the tribal side, and having that kind of historic and context for why the state and the tribes decided to go with a co-management type relationship in terms of fish and wildlife management, we think is important. There'd be a third piece of the meeting then that we're still in the design phases of that is going to be talking about specific issues. Where do we see our problems, not only from a relationship perspective, which I think is part of the real crux of the conversation, as well as looking at specific issues, but you know, most of the specific issues are between, some of them are between the tribes themselves, and some of them, obviously, are between the state and the tribes. And this is more about talking about where have we fallen short, where have we fallen down, where are we not demonstrating the same level of commitment to the relationship that we did in the past, which led to the successes that co-management has brought with it, as well as identifying those problem areas and what we might do to go about, use the term, reinvigorate our co-management relationship. We are having another planning session today at 1 o'clock, and the planning group is kind of loosely made up of myself and Commissioner Schmitten. Bill Wilkerson has joined our planning group. Jim Waldo's joined our planning group. Billy Frank, Lorraine Loomis, and Mike Graham are kind of the key members of our planning group. So we're going to continue to work and refine, particularly the the meeting day of Thursday here today, and I'm sure we'll have subsequent sessions leading up to the meeting itself. So that's kind of where we are, and obviously that date's coming at us quickly, and getting this thing set up and organized is maybe been a little bigger project than I gave it credit for, so I've been spending a fair amount of time working on it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Did you discuss what the room configuration is going to be? Is there going to be, like there always has been in the meetings that I've been in, an enormous rectangular table with chairs along the sides, or is this going to be more of a theater arrangement? Have you discussed that?
Thanks, Madam Chair. That is one of the we have not decided that. You know, we looked at location, confirmation, reservations, all those kinds of things. But we've been looking at participants in terms of who the tribes and as well as state would invite. But the thing I've got on my list here is room setup, and so I want to get particularly Jim Waldo's counsel on that. I guess my initial thought is that the big rectangular square is not the setup that I'd be looking for on Thursday, but that's just my perspective. Mm-hmm. I think we need to have more of a theater style configuration because we're going to have these panels. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that the big hollow square setup is conducive to the type of meeting that we're thinking about, but that's not my decision solely, but that's the perspective that I have.
Thank you. Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments for the director? Commissioner Schmitten, are you still with us?
No, I think Phil did a good job. I do have a question, Phil. We should have Jim Waldo at the Wednesday night dinner.
Oh yeah. Jim Waldo and Bill Wilkerson will both be at our Wednesday night dinner. Yep.
Excellent. And then there was a piece that we wrestled with after the identification of major problems relationship. And none of this is final, but I anticipated a goal of leaving the meeting, hopefully with an agreed process to begin to resolve these issues. There's no way they can be resolved at the meeting, but if we can establish a process, is that still in the works?
I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
Where do we go next?
Well, the where we go next is, I think, things like talking about reestablishment of our what we had called our oversight committee. Trying to resolve, we have some long-standing issues between specific tribes and the department, some of which we'll continue to work on probably for a long time to come, and some of which may have some resolution to them. What we talked about the other day and what I've is to talk about our North of Falcon process, not so much what we do in March and April, but more so what do we do in terms of actually addressing the issues that we have on our work plan that's in addition to the letter of agreed to fisheries that comes out of that process, and reinvigorating our oversight committee. I think the other big issue that crosses almost all the tribes, with the exception of the coastal tribes, is this issue about our Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan.
Yes.
That's one that touches everybody. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to tee up issues that are specific to an individual tribe and the state as something that this group is going to design a process by which we're going to resolve those. I think we have to be talking about issues that touch multiple parties. Those are fair game, but I'm, at least for one, and I don't know how others feel, want to stay away from trying to have this larger group design some sort of a process that the participants in a particular issue have to adhere to. So,
Commissioner Schmitten, do you have any further thoughts?
No, I agree with Phil, especially in the latter point. I know the issues that have been bantered around Ketchikan County, Puget Sound, Chinook Harvest Management Plan, North of Falcon. From a tribal perspective, they wanted a discussion on enforcement. I don't know how the final list will come out, but those are examples of cross-cutting issues that affect both parties wholesale across the board.
Okay. Other comments? And this is something I've been thinking about quite a bit, because I see this as a very important and somewhat unique opportunity where we'll all be gathering together to look at the past in order to think about ways to improve some of the unfortunate dynamics that have been seen in very recent times. But at the same time, this is always challenging. There's so many complexities to our relationship, so many sensitivities to the relationships between the state and all the Indian tribes, that every meeting in which we've gotten together with the tribes of the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission has created, I would describe it as some degree of anxiety and perplexity, at least for me, and I think that's true of other commissioners. So I wanted to try to visualize so that the commission can be prepared, because I don't want to miss this tremendous opportunity to provide some constructive contributions. So, Director Anderson, to the extent that your planning group has discussed how the panel discussions would be conducted and what kind of participation there might be by those in the audience, those hearing it, the commission in particular, what do you visualize that would happen? We'd listen to the panel discussions. They'd refresh in our memory the importance of the co-management relationship. We would ask questions. But how would we get into very sensitive discussions in such a large group? Do you have any thoughts about how the discussion would be facilitated, and how we would reach a level of comfort in bearing our souls without stepping on any landmines?
I think the most difficult part, or at least for me, the most difficult part of this, of planning this meeting and having something come out of it that we feel is tangible, that moves us forward is the third piece. The legal piece is, I mean, relatively straightforward. The people that were involved in the creation of the process coming out of 10 years of turmoil after the Bolt decision will be informative, will remind us of kind of what the, if you don't do it this way, then this is the other way that you could do your business, given the dysfunctionality of the other way of doing business is why the tribal and state leaders chose to go in this direction. Okay, now here we are, 30 years later, and this is about relationships. It's about a level of commitment. We've talked about, you know, kind of the change, at least in some with some folks, in terms of coming to the table in the North of Falcon process with a position, with no ability to deviate from that position based on what you hear from the other side across the table. We've talked about the concerns and issues associated with people not sending representatives of whether it's the state or the tribe that have the ability to make a decision, that instead were sent there with a position, and any time that they thought they wanted to consider something different than the position they were sent for, they have to go back and check with folks at home. That in a negotiating environment, that's a recipe for failure. You know, we've had those kinds of conversations just among this small group of individuals that I mentioned. And again, we only, for the first time, this week had Jim and Bill Wilkerson be a part of that conversation. I think the frustration with some of the meetings that we've had in the past, where we've gotten together and sat around a hollow square, we've ended up listening to some lectures or speeches that really didn't move us forward in any positive direction. And I suspect that those of you who have been at those meetings and have been, I'll say, victimized by those, are not looking forward to experiencing that again. Now, that said, I think it's fair to say that we will listen to some speeches on this day, and probably listen to some we would rather not hear. But so I think that's why making this third piece of this meeting is the most difficult part of all. And if we get down into the weeds and start trying to resolve specific issues in a group like that, I mean, there's no way you're going to be successful in doing that. So we have to view... I think we have to view this as a start, we will try to set up some processes by which we'll have a smaller group of individuals addressing specific issues that spanned multiple entities and sovereigns, like, you know, everything from the, like Commissioner Schmidt mentioned, catch counting, enforcement. And the Puget Sound Harvest Management Plan is probably the most imperative of all that we have to deal with, and that we're just really struggling trying to make progress on that, but really only in one watershed that's has the potential of holding up the entire thing, which is the Skokomish. So I'm not answering your question squarely, but I'm just, again, we need to have this. We're having to get another planning session here today. I think a good part of it's going to be focused on this, the third component of the meeting, which, again, is probably the most important, and that, you know, we're not going to walk out of here and say, okay, we did it, we're done, we're in back to business as usual, because if that's what we do, this meeting will have been a failure. So I don't know. Maybe Commissioner Schmidt has something else to add.
Chair, if I could just add a point. This is part three is where I really view the talents of Jim Waldo coming through. We need Jim to set the stage of expectations. We need him to set what the meeting's not about, and that is discussion of the party's rights, for the most part, those are well known. I think that part of this, and it's interesting that the tribes actually raised the first, you know, the erosion of co-management, in part, this is 30 plus, almost 40 years later. We've all gone through at least two cycles of employees, so there's a whole lot of people that have no idea, how this got started from both perspectives, from the department as well as the tribal perspective, and I think that educating that echelon of folks is going to be really important. But to keep us in the third part on track of identifying problems is going to be a job for Jim, and he's very well suited for that.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Commissioner Carpenter.
Go ahead, Commissioner Carpenter.
I think, having been in more than a few meetings with the tribes in various venues, I think Phil's explanation was about as good as you could put it. I'm optimistic, somewhat cautious, but I'm optimistic that going forward this is the right thing to do. The one thing, Phil, I guess I would respond to a little bit is the schedule on the Thursday is from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. approximately, and there'll probably be a lunch break, I would imagine, maybe a working lunch. But I guess all I would ask is try and encourage the tribal leaders to not let of their people that like to get on their soapbox and blast us and blast you and do character assassinations and burn up 30 minutes of a bunch of rhetorical stuff that we've heard before, being respectful of that, maybe encourage them to shorten that or try and avoid some of that, because otherwise I could see several hours being burned up in individuals venting.
Director Anderson, the third piece, the piece in which we set the agenda for resolving some of these important issues, how do you envision that set of problems being identified? Is it going to be presented as a joint a kind of consensus list of issues to be addressed by the planning commission or the planning group that you talked about? Or I'm just trying to envision who is going to lay out the list of problems. Who's going to articulate that?
Well, again, we're still in the process of kind of designing the third piece. My hope is that we would try to identify those key issues in a general way, and that we would have Jim Waldo put those issues on the table and help lead a discussion about where do we go from here in terms of trying to come to some long-term resolution to some of these long-standing issues.
Okay.
And that's my. Now, we haven't talked about that specifically with the rest of the members of the planning group, and they may have a different thought about that, but that's how I would envision it occurring.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Kehoe.
Commissioner Kehoe.
Phil, a couple weeks ago, the Fish Committee, we had a little teleconference talking about, you know, this meeting, and one of the issues that we were discussing had to do with the dispute resolution mechanism. You know, I know there's that the Fisheries Advisory Board, and, you know, to my knowledge, that hasn't been invoked in a long time. And I'm not suggesting that we kind of, you know, rattle our swords on that issue, but is that going to be one of the issues, or have you thought about that in terms of, you know, bringing that issue up?
Well, the dispute resolution process is pretty well laid out in the stipulation that came out in 1997 out of the co-management stipulation. There's a dispute resolution process in there that's stipulated. It's entered in as a court order. There's obviously, as you mentioned, other dispute resolution processes that are contained within the Bolt decision, including the Fishery Advisory Board, that is for technical issues, not policy issues. And you don't need to, if one party requests an FAB, the other party doesn't even have to participate. They can take that issue onto the court, and so you don't even have to use that. So. There was on our planning meeting discussion a couple of weeks ago some reference to we're going to court without any reference to what we're going to court about by some of the tribal folks that were on the call. I was a little dismayed by exactly what it is that they were going to go to court over, but. We haven't talked about that. I think the legal panel would address and outline what our dispute resolution processes are that have been approved by the federal court. Those are well known. I don't think there's been any discussion about trying to create a different.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Schmitten.
Commissioner Schmitten. Yes.
There's one other dynamic of this meeting that we haven't mentioned. For the state side, it needs to be a public meeting, so there'll need to be an announcement and a discussion of how to handle or allow the public involvement. I've only been on maybe one or two of the meetings, missed the last one, but initially it was thought that we would hold public comments other than the parties that are engaged for the very end of the meeting. And then the other point I would bring up, a potential other historian might be Dick Whitney, University of Washington. He was the court-appointed FAB person and has an interesting history, and frankly, if you look at his decisions, fairly well balanced over time. Neither party always got the resolution in their favor, and his perspective would be welcome if he's available.
Mm-hmm. Director Anderson, do you think that public comment is an important part of this? I didn't anticipate that we would be allowing any public input.
Well, my opinion is no, we shouldn't be doing that. The meeting will, I don't know that all of you have responded as to whether or not you're going to attend or not, but I'm assuming we'd have a quorum of commissioners. I don't know that for sure. But if we do, obviously we have to announce that the meeting's going to take place, but I would I would argue for not having a public comment period included in the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, and that is a good segue into the logistics of this the meeting and the move from Tulalip down to Olympia. So we need, Tammy needs to hear from commissioners about your accommodations needs. Will you need to stay at the hotel in Tulalip Wednesday evening? We also need to know your intentions about attending the meeting. So if any of you don't plan to attend, we need to know that. If you need a hotel room in Tulalip, we need to know that. And we assume everyone will be driving down to the Phoenix Inn for Thursday night. And if you have alternate plans for Thursday night, we need to know that. So would you please email Tammy with your hotel needs? And the final issue in relation to the October meeting is that we will be adjourning Friday afternoon, probably about 4:30 or 5. And so we need to know if anyone wants to stay at the Phoenix Inn Friday night and start your drive home on Saturday morning. If you do not need a hotel for Friday night, let us know. If you plan to stay Friday night and travel home Saturday morning, we need to know that. So we just need to know what your plans are. This is a more complicated meeting than past meetings.
Is the commission, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, this is Commissioner Kehoe. Do I take it then that the commissioners are not meeting on Saturday morning?
No, we will be meeting all day Friday in Olympia meeting room. So we'll be getting together in Tulalip Wednesday evening. All day Thursday in Tulalip until about 3. We adjourn about 3 on Thursday. Then we'll be driving down to Olympia unless you have alternate plans. But we will be convening our regular commission meeting Friday morning, I believe at 8:30.
Madam
so
Chair.
We'll have just a one-day Friday, October 4th meeting to conduct our regular business.
Okay, that was my question. Thanks.
Yes. And the draft agenda that I'm looking at says that we will call to order at 8:30 Friday morning. We also are going to schedule in a debrief, a miscellaneous in meeting debrief at 4 o'clock, the end of the day on Friday, and we'll be able to have a discussion then about the co-managers meeting that we just participated in. Kind of have a little discussion of how we felt about it, next steps, that sort of thing. So that'll be 4 o'clock on Friday. And then we will adjourn. And either you can drive home or you can stay overnight in Olympia and drive home on Saturday morning. But there will be no session on Saturday morning. Okay, the other item, I think you've you're all aware that the Wildlife Committee will be meeting at 7 a.m. Friday morning. We decided that it would be impossible to schedule a Wildlife Committee meeting in the evening on Thursday, not knowing what the traffic will be like as we drive down from Tulalip. So we'll have a short Wildlife Committee meeting at 7 in the morning at the Phoenix Inn, and then the Fish Committee will be meeting at noon on Friday. Was there a question or comment? Okay. Was there anything else, Tammy, that we needed to ask about?
I think that covers everything. I'll try to get an agenda out here pretty soon so they can see it.
I note that Commissioner Holtzmiller will not be joining us for the co-managers meeting. Is there anyone else at this time who knows that you will not make it?
This is Commissioner Caney, and I will not make either any of the meetings in October. I'll be gone.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Sounds like everyone else intends to be there. Does anyone not need a room in Tulalip on Wednesday night?
This is Commissioner Kehoe. I'm not certain, but I will. I'll let Tammy know by Monday at the latest.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I won't need a. This is Commissioner Kramer. I will not need a room there.
Okay, that's good. And what about Thursday night? Anyone not need a room in the Phoenix Inn? I know that Commissioner Caney's not going to be there. Commissioner Holtzmiller will be there. Is that correct? Commissioner Holtzmiller, are you going to arrive in Olympia Thursday evening? Maybe he's not on the call.
That was my understanding, Miranda.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the logistics. Any other items to discuss this morning?
I have two, Madam Chair.
Good. Go ahead.
I'm going to, we have a little bit of information on the Tianaway that I wanted to share, and Joe Storr is going to do that.
Great.
Morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of updates. I think everybody's aware we've been working very hard since the legislative session to finalize the purchase of the 50,000-acre Tianaway lands, and all of this is taking place in support of the Yakima Basin integrated plan. We've made a lot of great progress and expect to have three documents ready to sign by September 30th. That would be the formal sales agreement that gives the Department of Natural Resources ownership of the land. We'll be ready to sign a what started off as a conservation easement between DNR and Fish and Wildlife, and has morphed into what we're calling a working lands easement. And essentially what it does is it gives I'll use the term co-management or co-decision-making, but it essentially has the Department of Fish and Wildlife managing this 50,000 acres hand in hand with DNR, and that process was pretty much undefined when the legislation passed. I think we're very happy with the cooperation and the willingness on the part of DNR to support this co-decision making from soup to nuts on just about everything that goes on those lands. And then the third document is in support of that. That's an interagency agreement that gets down to sort of the how-to for this co-decision-making that we're going to institute here. So a pretty innovative, unique kind of situation with these lands, and all in support of the Yakima Basin planning effort and the variety of citizens that have been involved in that. So that signing celebration will take place on the 30th, and then there's a celebration over on the Tianaway land itself on the 1st of October. That will include presentations from Yakima Basin planning members, the Commissioner of Public Lands, our director, and representatives from the governor's office. So a lot of excitement building about all of that, and the culmination of a lot of work to make that happen in pretty short order from the, you know, the late June close of the legislature. The other item I just wanted to give you as an FYI related to the Tianaway is that both agencies are looking hard at what it will take to manage these lands, and we are in some initial discussions about a supplemental budget request. I don't really have anything for you to look at yet or for you to approve, and it's hard to tell. It's probably going to be in the middle of towards the end of the legislative session before we really know what that might look like. Our ask will probably be substantially less than DNR's. We're trying to be very careful in terms of what we ask for, because we don't want to build this huge operating budget sort of bow wave around this purchase, but we will have some work to do in terms of putting together a management plan and establishing baselines around the existence of natural resources on those lands. So just a FYI, that discussion is ongoing and probably will be for some time.
Terrific. Real progress. It's a complicated arrangement. Calls for serious coordination, and that's not always easy. So, very good job.
Thank you. And then, Madam Chair, the last topic, at least that I had, was I wanted to consult with the Commission on something that I want to do, and that is I would like to have the Department of Fish and Wildlife join the Washington Tourism Alliance. Hmm. And you may recall that the legislature stopped funding the tourism office that was housed in the Department of Commerce, State Department of Commerce. And it really, there's pretty significant loss there in terms of a state approach and a state avenue for us to work with in terms of promoting the outdoor activities that the activities of the Department of Fish and Wildlife support. I wanted to first make sure that we had the statutory authority to join the alliance, because right now there's no other state agencies in the organization, and so I've checked with the AGs, and he assures me that pursuant to RCW 7712320, that the commission can enter into such agreements and join this kind of an organization. The next thing I looked at was whether or not I, as director, had the authority to do that, and so I looked to the delegation of authority document. And there is a general provision in there that authorizes the director to enter into certain type or specified types of agreements unless they're otherwise provided for in that document, with an obligation for me to consult with the commission before entering those kinds of agreements on behalf of the commission. So that is in part what I'm doing here today. The Washington Tourism Alliance has something in the neighborhood of 400 members or so, and everything from hotels to cruise lines to restaurants. Port of Seattle is a big player. There's several tourist and convention bureaus. We think that by joining the alliance, it will open a number of doors for us and new opportunities to promote fishing and hunting and outdoor recreation. and really to increase the statewide and regional understanding of the role that we play with some new partners. They're organized and set up in seven different regions that align pretty closely with our six administrative regions, so that's a pretty good fit. The cost of joining is $2,500 a year, which when we look at the potential benefits and new avenues for us to promote the activities that we support, seems like a reasonable amount. They've got different opportunities in terms of putting us in places on their websites, preferred advertising rates in the Washington State Visitor's Guide, and display tables at their events and other types of opportunities that we currently don't have. So, and it also fits in, I think, pretty neatly with the Big Ten initiative and our effort to bring youth. With a focus on youth and bringing youth into the outdoor recreational activities. So I don't need a vote, but if there were objections by any individual commissioner to us moving forward with joining the Alliance, obviously I would want to know that.
Okay, commissioners, sounds like an excellent idea to me. Does anyone have any objections to joining the Tourism Alliance? We've been, over the years, talking about how important it is to get our message out, to make it clear the terrific assets that we have in our state, the natural resources. So this is very consistent with all of the conversations I've heard in my time on the commission.
Superb idea.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay.
Okay. Director? Thank you very much.
Thanks for paying attention to the delegation document.
Yep.
I know that you always do. Are there any other items that you wanted to bring forward?
No, not today.
Okay. I just had one other point, and that was about the wolf update that we can expect during the October meeting. After hearing, after attending the wolf advisory group's meeting a couple days ago, I thought I'd just would ask that the commission be provided with the information that was provided to the Wolf Group, the Wolf Advisory Group. And in particular, there's a number of documents that were not at the front table, have to do with the budget. The information that Donnie presented on trapping activities and suspected pack activity, changes in the known packs, the confirmed packs. I hope that we will hear all of that in our October briefing.
Yeah, Madam Chair. We put some of that information together. I went up and met with Representative Dunchy, Senators Rosas and Ranker in Edmonds primarily on wolf-related topics on Monday. And so some of that information that Donnie had there was some of the information that I provided to those legislators. And there's one in particular, kind of a landscape layout document that is a really a nice summary of all those kinds of things that you just mentioned, and not on the budget piece, but on packs and collaring activities and number of animals collared and those kinds of things that I know he was referencing during his presentation. And we'll be sure to have those and any of the other documents that were provided to the group available to the commission at your meeting.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this is Commissioner Caney.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Commissioner Caney.
Yeah, I also was with Miranda at this meeting, and it was just really, really valuable to me as a commissioner, I think, to see, you know, how these different committees and advisory groups function, you know, the processes, the interplay, the chemistry, you know, and then to, you know, follow that through and realize and how that will come to the commission as advisement or recommendations or, you know, right through WDFW staff. And it was just something maybe that other commissioners, if they have some time and it's in the budget, could try to attend that one in particular, because I think it was really valuable for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an excellent meeting. Staff were very well prepared and I think conducted in a way that is very conducive to all of the stakeholders feeling that they have a voice, they're having an influence, it's meaningful. So I was planning on providing more details to the full commission at our regular meeting about this advisory group session that Commissioner Caney and I attended. But for the purpose of preparing for the agenda item on wolves for the October meeting, just wanted to ask that we be provided with a full range of background information. And also something that I've been asked about is the bios, the background experience of the trappers that we're using, because some concern has been raised that we may have difficulty finding people with experience in trapping wolves, and it's crucial that we have trappers experienced with that particular species because they're so difficult to trap. So if you could ask staff to give us some information about the backgrounds of the people we've hired, that would probably put that issue to rest. Okay. That's all that I have. Does anyone else have any items to bring forward before we end this? Any other items? Hearing none, I think our business is completed. It's about 10 to 10. So we can adjourn this meeting. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you soon.